With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The U.S. growth rate has hit 3%, but Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp says it isn't sustainable.
Well, that 3% rate required us to draw down on a finite supply of available workers. That can't go on forever because eventually you'll run out of workers. And it's also dependent on a couple of one-off effects. For example, a tax cut that will not be repeated, a boom in oil prices that is probably not going to be repeated, and a bull market in stocks which seems to be stumbling.
We'll have the details, but first, here are some top stories. U.S. companies are passing higher costs along to consumers. Wall Street Journal reporter Austin Hufford says higher tariffs and trucking costs are among the reasons why.
For the first time in a number of years, a lot of companies in recent weeks have said that they want to raise prices and that they are going to be pushing through price increases next year. And some economists we spoke to think that inflation could hit the highest level it's been since the recession.
Clorox and Coca-Cola are among those that reported raising prices in the latest quarter. Fears of climate change are undermining the value of once coveted coastal property. A Wall Street Journal analysis of counties in 16 states found that the prices of homes in high-risk flood zones failed to keep pace with those further inland and not at risk of flooding. For more on the Journal's series, The Price of Climate Change, head to our website, WSJ.com. In the past year, two big beer brewers, Molson Coors and Constellation Brands, have announced plans for cannabis-infused beverages in Canada. But the CEO of soda giant Coca-Cola says his company will wait to use cannabis-derived ingredients until they're legal and there's scientific consensus that they're safe for daily consumption. The company is also waiting to see whether there's consumer demand for such products. AIG reported more narrow losses in the third quarter compared to a year earlier. The insurance giant posted a $1.26 billion loss in the latest quarter, with catastrophe claims from Hurricane Florence in the U.S. and typhoons in Asia. Last year's loss was higher due to three hurricanes in a row hitting the Caribbean and the southern United States. Still to come, why the U.S.'s 3% growth rate may not be sustainable. U.S. economic growth hit a milestone touted by the Trump administration, growing at a rate of exactly 3% over the 12 months ending in September. But Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp says that rate of growth isn't yet sustainable. He joins us now from Washington to explain. So, Greg, hitting that 3% was a stated goal of the Trump administration, and it informed many of their policies, including the nation's tax overhaul. So how did we get here?
Well, the key is whether that 3% is sustainable. And by sustainable, it's essentially has to be a rate of economic growth that can continue more or less indefinitely without hitting any bottlenecks in terms of finite resources like labor or relying too much on one-time stimulants. And if you look at what happened over the last year, it really doesn't meet that test. I'd say the number one piece of evidence is that the unemployment rate fell half a percentage point over the course of that year. And it hit a 49-year low of 3.7%. Now, that's absolutely great. It tells us that the job market is really strong. But it's not really consistent with being able to maintain a 3% growth rate. I mean, if every year you used up another half percentage point of the labor force that was unemployed, you would eventually hit zero and you'd have to go negative, which is, of course, impossible. So the test of whether the growth is sustainable is that you have to be able to maintain that growth rate without the unemployment rate going up or down.
And there are some other factors you point out here, too. Let's talk a little bit about the personal and business tax cuts. You argue that hasn't worked exactly as planned either. How's the tax overhaul been impacting business investment?
So the big tax plan that was passed last year and took effect in January was supposed to have, according to economists, two effects. The first is what we would call a so-called Keynesian demand-side stimulus. You lower people's taxes, they have more money to spend, they go and spend that money, and you get a one-off burst in consumption. And that is exactly what happened. You saw people's after-tax incomes rise sharply in January, and at first their spending didn't react, so the first thing that happened was their saving went up. But in the subsequent 9 months, their saving rate has dropped as they have ramped up spending, and that indeed has provided quite a tailwind to the economy. The second effect of the tax cut was to make business investment more profitable by reducing the tax on those profits and by allowing them to write off new equipment right away instead of having to do it over several years. And so far, we haven't really seen strong evidence that that's happened. You really have to sort of like back out some of the aspects of business investment that aren't so responsive to taxes, like oil and gas, which is more dependent on oil prices. That type of investment took a drubbing after the price of oil collapsed a few years ago, and it's been coming back pretty strong, but you really can't attribute that to the tax cut. If you set that effect aside, what you do find is that investment hasn't shown much of a response, maybe a little bit, but not much of a response to those so-called supply-side benefits. Those benefits are probably coming, but I doubt that we can say they're big enough or immediate enough to deliver sustained 3% growth.
And Greg, another factor that could threaten sustainability here is market volatility. We saw a lot of that in the month of October. How is that likely to impact growth?
So we know things like stock markets, the bond market, the dollar, they all affect growth in various ways. When stocks go up, people feel wealthier and they spend more. When bond yields go down, people buy more houses. And so if you actually incorporate all those so-called financial conditions into what's going on in the economy, it's clear that they were a major factor in the strength of growth over the last year or two. You had a big stock market rise, which made people feel wealthier and they spent more. What's happened in the last year? Well, the stock market has more or less flattened out. It's been a little bit weaker in the last month or so. And long-term interest rates have gone up, which is one reason why the housing market has weakened. So those factors, which were a tailwind for the last year or two, are probably going to be a headwind in the coming year. And that, too, makes it more difficult to maintain that 3% rate of growth.
So, Greg, bottom line, should we expect an economic slowdown on the horizon, or are there any other factors at play that could have the opposite effect to encourage growth?
I don't want to be too pessimistic here. There are reasons to think that the long-term sustainable rate of the economy will move up from 1.8% or 2%, which is where it's been for the last little while. For example, there's all this excitement about robotics and artificial intelligence and so on, and at some point that should have a positive effect on long-term growth. But at the same time, if you're really realistic about where the sources of growth come from, it's just very hard to see us continuing at that 3% rate much longer. And that would be really true no matter who's in charge of Congress or who the president is.
An important note heading into the midterms next week. That's Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.